Welcome to Garden Talk. I'm Boston Christopher, and I'm joined now by UAF Cooperative Extension Service Agent and Associate Professor Darren Snyder. And this week's topic is making the most of your precious harvest. Proper preparation for successful storage will make all the difference. Gwyneth Cheesh, how are you? Thank you so much. It's a pleasure to see you again. Darren Wasiati, how are you today?
I'm well, Boston. Good to see you as well.
I love this topic because we're kind of getting to the end of the harvest, and it's like, what do we do with the stuff that we have? So where do we begin?
Yes. But the good news is that there's still time to prepare, and I wanted to really emphasize that you know, you're not going to be harvesting everything just yet. But if you do want to be storing some of this, then it's a good idea to have a little bit of a plan in place. So hopefully I can help you all out with that.
Oh, excellent. Okay. Yeah, because there's certain things that you don't even get out of the garden yet, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay. Yeah. But I have to have tools, and I might have to have some storage containers, or I might have to have some other kinds of things. So where do we begin?
Yeah. So first off, I just wanted to share that some of my inspiration for this came from I joined the Juneau Garden Club and their Gustavus tour last weekend, and we toured no less than 4 different root cellars, and some of them even had carrots from last year that were ready to eat. And
oh, wow.
So people are being really successful here in Southeast Alaska in successfully storing these products that usually come from our own garden, but it also can be stuff that we purchased from either a local grower or even just brought in, because this season is the season that, you know, in the Northern Hemisphere, things are being harvested. And so it's an opportunity just to, you know, if you can order a lug of something or other, then you can, and you have a place to put it, then you can do it. It's like essentially, when we're talking about these, storage spaces such as root cellars, we're talking about something that's mimicking a refrigerator. And so you have the opportunity to be having your delicious food, you know, at your ready. You may be able to save some money by buying in bulk. When you are harvesting at peak freshness, then that's when these foods are most nutritious, and they're going to store the longest. So any of these activities that we're doing, the big idea is that we're trying to just slow them down, so that when we get to eat them in the future, in the coming weeks, months, that it does taste fresh and it's, you know, a crisp, snappy apple or a snappy carrot. It's nothing, you know, not limp and losing, its, qualities that you want.
I see. Okay. Yeah. So what do I do?
Well, first you want to make sure that you are just kind of aware of the concepts that we're working with here. And there are 3 main things to pay attention to. You want to pay attention to the temperature of your storage area. You want to pay attention to what the humidity is, and being able to adjust the humidity as needed. And you want to make sure that there's enough airflow in any storage environment. So, first off, you got to start with the best quality produce you can. If you have, when you're harvesting, many times we'll end up, nicking a piece of fruit, or you'll notice a blemish. Those are the ones you want to eat, and or give away, or preserve in a different fashion than we're talking about here. And we're talking about cool storage generally.
Okay.
Again, kind of mimicking a refrigerator, and so. When we're trying to make sure that this is the best produce possible, we are trying to harvest at the latest point. Granted, you don't want to have things becoming woody or anything like that. I've had kohlrabi that were just a little bit too late, and so they did start to get a little bit woody. So you should know your produce. Make sure that you're harvesting stuff at peak harvest point. But generally, like with carrots, or with potatoes, you want them to take the full length season with us. Also, in making sure that you have the best quality that you can, you're taking a lot of care when you're harvesting. But when you're harvesting things like potatoes, for example, there are certain strategies, and so there's a term called just skinning up your potatoes. And so people who have raised potatoes are usually familiar with this, but if you want it to be able to store, you want there to be a skin that's going to protect it. And so that starts with your pre-harvest, where people will knock down their plants, either crimp them or roll them over or cut them off, or commercial folks sometimes burn them. But just the plant, and then you let it sit in the ground for a week or more. And generally, people cover it up here in our rainy environment so they don't absorb too much moisture and crack. But I don't want to get into the weeds too much on all the individuals, but that's one of the examples of just how you want to make sure that your specific harvests are being taken care of. And so with potatoes, you're going to, after you've had them skin up in the ground a little bit, you actually can take them out and lay them out and actually let them be in a relatively warm environment, like in the 50s, which isn't hard to get around here. But you don't want to throw it right into a cool environment like down in which we'd want to be storing these for the winter, because, again, you want it to be forming this skin. So, and as far as where you're going to be storing these things, there are lots of options there. It can be part of your house. It could be a separate structure. Some people will just store in pretty much a hole in the ground. There's buried barrels. There are so many ways that people have stored vegetables and for over the years. The different ways allow for ease of access, ease of management, and all of that, those considerations.
Yeah, when you were talking about going on the tour last weekend and seeing the root cellars, that in my mind, I imagined like something in somebody's house, like a cellar. But yeah, a root cellar could be a concept of mind, right, in terms of what it means to be a root cellar?
Yeah. It's somewhere where you store it. And so a lot of people do. You know, it's most convenient for yourself, as, you know, if you're going to go and access your root cellar, if you can walk somewhere from the inside your house and go access it, that's really convenient. And if it's part of your building already, then you don't have to build something.
Right.
You just have to modify it a little bit. And so let's just say, for example, if it's somebody's literal cellar or a crawl space. A lot of us have crawl spaces. If it's a dry crawl space and, you know, it doesn't flood in the winter or anything like that, then that's a good place to start. And so we have within the Cooperative Extension some excellent resources to get some of the basics on, you know, what it would take to build a root cellar in your house. And we have a publication called Vegetable Storage and Root Cellars. And so you can see some of the concepts there. But the big idea is you want it to stay cool. And so your house is warm because you don't want to be as cold as your vegetables. So you're going to kind of insulate your root your space for storage from the warmth of your house. And so there's insulation involved. There's also vapor barriers, because we do want, many of these we want to have a humidity of over 90%. So that's really moist. And because you don't want your vegetables to dry out, because that's what causes them, one of the things that can cause them to deteriorate. And so, but your house doesn't want to be that moist. So again, you're going to have some strategies to isolate your house environment from this storage environment.
So if I'm hearing you, I'm trying to learn. I want to do high humidity, low temperature, not freezing.
Correct.
Necessarily, but yeah, somewhere in the
cool
50s,
storage.
Right?
Well, or just above freezing is the general.
Just above. Okay, so we're talking like 35, 37?
32 to 40 for many of them.
Okay.
And the ones that are generally warmer and drier are like our garlic and onions. Other ones that we consider to be kind of our typical root crops, like beets and carrots and also kohlrabi and rutabagas, those all want to have that cooler. And same thing with apples and pears and things like that.
I see. But the high moisture is really interesting. So if I don't have a house, right? Mm-hmm. Let's say I live in a apartment or something, and I have a garden in the community garden, you know, and I bring my stuff home. What are some ways I might be able to accomplish sort of a mini root cellar?
Well, that's a great question, and it's essentially kind of the answer is you really aren't really set up to do that. And that's the same thing for any sort of like food storage. It's like, you know, I also work on just emergency food storage. And we're all kind of limited in these things, but especially when you're talking about creating an environment that is like a refrigerator in a small amount of space. So there are concepts. In fact, Gustavus, just to invoke that again, they have a community root cellar. And it's something that I would love to hear from folks in our community. If you want to work on a community root cellar project, please contact me, because I do too. And there are funds available for us to apply for. What we need is a little bit of groundswell for people who are interested to move forward with this type of project.
Because if we have a community garden, we might as well have a community root cellar, right?
Amen. Amen. Yeah. Yeah. There are lots of opportunities with that.
So, awesome. Yeah. Okay. And other things about this, storing our harvests?
Yeah. So when you're managing your, you want to, and again, the timing on this, I do want people to just be thinking about, well, is there a place in my home? Is there a place in my friend's home? Is there a place where I can think of that is, you know, first off, going to be a safe place? It's going to be, well built. It's not going to have rodents or other pests that are going to be something that they're going to come in. Something that's accessible by me in the wintertime. All those factors. Try and think about: are there any places like that? And also go ahead and gather up, like you were talking about right at the beginning, you know, some of your materials, some of your supplies, what type of bins, using wooden crates, using even plastic totes works as, depending on how you're doing this. But some of the supplies standard would be clean sawdust, something that's not from a chainsaw, which spits out oil, but more of a bandsaw, that type of sawdust, which is just straight sawdust, and generally hardwoods, not our conifers, because the conifers, unless it's really old sawdust, will actually off-gas some volatile, it smells piney, and that will flavor things. And then gathering all these things up, learning more about it, now's the time to be doing that. Please look me up at the Cooperative Extension Service here in Juneau. Also, I just wanted to just acknowledge that there are some many experts, but a specific expert up in the Fairbanks area who's been sharing with our state. His name is Sam Knapp. He has a book called Beyond the Root Cellar. And he's got a cool farm up in Fairbanks called Offbeat Farm. And so he's actually a producer who is really focused on the niche market of what are the storable crops that he as a farmer could produce. And so it'd be a good combination. So if people want to get into it, give me a call.
And give your information, Darren, because I know you also mentioned you have a pamphlet that might be available.
Yes.
In terms of how to store your vegetables. Where do we reach out and find some of this information?
Yeah, look up Juneau Cooperative Extension Service. Juneau Cooperative Extension Service. You can get our general email there. And then as well, we've talked about the cool storage. There's also many other types of food preservation techniques, whether it be freezing, canning, and such. And so we'll talk about maybe bringing on my colleague Sarah Lewis, who focuses on that as related to our garden harvests in the future as well.
Excellent. Okay. Well, Gwyneth Cheesh, for being here, thank you so much. This week's topic, making the most of your precious harvest. Proper preparation for successful storage makes all the difference. Darren Snyder, thank you so much. Really appreciate you being here.
Thanks, Boston.